I'm going to be sharing research that I did as part of my time as an MPH student in infectious disease at Virginia Tech. Research that I took on in addition to my regular academic load. And it focused on childhood influenza vaccination rates during the 2009-2010 season, focusing particularly on the impact of parental beliefs, attitudes, and knowledge. And as you can see, I'm one of many contributors for this project. So, and there are no personal financial relationships to disclose. A little bit of background about the flu vaccine study that I participated in. The Cumberland Plateau Health District of the larger Virginia Department of Health commissioned a team of researchers from Virginia Tech, and that was led by the former health district director at the time, who is now the commissioner of health for the state of Tennessee, Dr. John Dreisner. He came to Virginia Tech and said, I want to pilot this small study of seasonal flu and H1N1 2009-2010 vaccination practices, and really for two reasons. First was to understand why parents of elementary school age children chose to vaccinate or not vaccinate their children against the flu, both H1N1 and seasonal flu. And then also to identify contributing factors that might have affected that decision to vaccinate or not vaccinate their children against the flu. As you can see, I'm not sure if you all are familiar with the state of Virginia, but I like to think of it as the triangle state. In the white there, you can see the Cumberland Plateau Health District is closer to the left-hand tip of Virginia, and that white area is actually the Appalachian region of Virginia. Just to tell you a little bit about Appalachia, it has poor health outcomes. It spans 13 states, and it has poorer health outcomes than areas surrounding it that are non-Appalachia regions. And as you can see, the Cumberland Plateau Health District is located in the midst of white. So it's a little bit of context for the location of the study that we did. A bit more context. So within the Cumberland Plateau Health District, the median household income is about $31,000, which is far less than the national average. Unlike some of the other research we've heard today, it's not as racially diverse. It's 98% Caucasian. Median age is 43 years old, and while 70% hold a high school diploma, you can see that higher education is far less. A quarter of the households are single parent, in addition to a quarter of children living below the poverty level, and unemployment is rather high there. Also, with health outcomes, the county ranks far lower than other counties in Virginia, with 22% of adults smoking, 27% of adults being obese, and as you can see, the teen birth rate is also much higher than the average in Virginia, with 41 per 1,000 females. Probably the most astounding statistic that you see on this slide is the primary care providers to patients ratio, which is 1 to 2,231. Which is far below the Virginia average of 1 to 800 or 806. A little bit more context in the terms of literature that already exists out there in relation to influenza. Well, first, there's so much attention given right now to the flu vaccine because, as we've seen in the 2009-2010 season, there are new strains and transmission pathways that we don't completely understand. And relevant to our particular study, there are studies that investigate the epidemiology of H1N1, as well as the impact of school-based flu vaccination programs and parental attitudes towards vaccinating children, mostly against seasonal flu. And just some relevant findings that I think really informed our research were that elementary through university-age students had higher H1N1 attack rates, with the most impact being on those children and those who are young adults or college-aged. Also, we've seen in the research that school-based flu vaccine programs help reduce student absenteeism and really seem to get to those areas that are geographically isolated, such as Appalachia. And then also, parents who have children vaccinated against the flu are more likely to know about flu prevention. As public health workers, you, I'm sure, see that connection every day, but parental barriers to vaccination include a low perceived risk, a perception that the vaccine actually causes influenza, and a belief in side effects. The objectives for our study were to analyze H1N1 seasonal flu for both 2009-2010 as well as 2010-2011 vaccination rates, and to identify factors that influenced both types of vaccination decisions in those seasons. We also looked at three hypothesized potential factors for things that could be influencing vaccine decision-making, and those include access and logistical barriers, so anything from being able to access those health services to health literacy, with also intentional motives, was the decision-making deliberate, and also parental disengagement. How engaged in the lives of the children are their parents, and how aware are they of services that are offered through the school? And then we also analyzed socioeconomic markers and parental choices for childhood flu vaccination. Some of those socioeconomic markers include employment status, insurance status, income, educational level. And we also tried to explain the differences in H1N1 vaccine uptake between two particular schools. Our methodology, we looked at two elementary schools within the Cumberland Plateau Health District, actually within the same school district, with different H1N1 vaccination rates. From here on out, I'll refer to School A as the high vaccination school and School B as the low vaccination school. And how we distributed these surveys was a bit tricky, but we decided to go the paper route. And so we photocopied and coded surveys and consent documents with letters to inform them of the study. We distributed those within the two schools, so not using mail, just using person-to-person, distributed through the schools to 119 students. And we also included an envelope that was addressed to return to Virginia Tech's research team. And 97 surveys were returned, with 86 remaining after we controlled for households with multiple elementary age children. And the split was pretty even. School A, which was the high vaccination, returned 40 surveys, and School B returned 46. Amazingly enough, just with no real contact with those parents, no direct contact, we had an 81.5% response rate. And we think that our Walmart gift cards were great incentives for that population. On to the results. So you can see in my first graph, I have each of the three flu vaccinations we looked at with the percentage vaccinated. And you can see in the dark purple is School A and the lighter purple is School B. So you can see that the darker purple had a higher vaccination rates for each of the three. And we began with analyzing H1N1 and seasonal flu for the 2009-2010 season. And we found statistical significance. And what we can really take away from this was parents seemed to respond differently to vaccinating their children against these two different types of vaccinations. Although they're both flu vaccinations, it seemed that there was a difference in response with 67% as opposed to 57% vaccinating against this. And we also, as I said, looked at socioeconomic markers, and employment status was the only socioeconomic marker that we had that was statistically significant. And we found that employed parents were less likely to have their children vaccinated against H1N1 than parents who were not employed. And I have the percentages there. We also looked at caregiver characteristics. How many children are in the household? Who is identified as the primary caregiver? And what we found was statistical significance with seasonal flu 2009-2010. And we could take away from this that primary caregivers who are not biological parents, so who are grandparents or aunts, uncles, tended to vaccinate children against seasonal flu more frequently than biological parent primary caregivers. Additionally, we looked at ideas about the flu, knowledge about the flu, which I'll get to in the next slide. And we found statistical significance with the seasonal flu 2010-2011 vaccination rates. I should say that flu severity was ranged from very serious to not very serious. And what we found was that households who viewed influenza as very serious had 79% of their children vaccinated against that particular flu virus, whereas only 47% of households that viewed influenza as serious or not very serious agreed to have their children vaccinated against that particular flu virus. And finally, we got to knowledge, where we asked them if they understood that two different influenza vaccinations existed during the 2009-2010 season. And what we found was that parents were more likely to vaccinate their children against seasonal flu and H1N1 if they knew that two different flu vaccines existed during that season. And finally, as I said in my introduction, we looked at three hypothesized factors that could be influencing parental decision-making. This just explains visually represents what we found for access and intentional motives. And as you can see here in the dark red, we have responses from those who said, yes, I vaccinated my child against H1N1. And the pink or light red represented people who did not. And on our survey, we had two different lists. One of the lists said, if you vaccinated your child against H1N1, check all that apply. What factors influenced your decision? And we did the same thing for if you didn't vaccinate your child against H1N1. And while we did not have the same number of questions related to access as intentional motives, what you can really see from this representation is that parents who decided to have their children vaccinated against H1N1 reported being influenced by both access and intentional motives, so access and deliberate decision-making, whereas parents who did not have their children vaccinated against H1N1 did not report being influenced by access factors. And access factors included convenience, the location of the vaccination itself, and cost. Our conclusions. So I couldn't fit everything into the presentation, but I wanted to throw in a couple extra conclusive elements from our study. As I said, there was a significant difference between the uptake of H1N1 and seasonal flu during the 09-10 season, but no inferences can be made. Employment status was an important socioeconomic marker in both schools. Parent primary caregivers were less likely to give their children the vaccination than grandparents or other primary caregivers. For the robustness of the statistical analysis, we looked at the schools combined, but qualitatively we could compare them school A versus school B, and what we found was that high numbers of parents from both schools reported learning about H1N1 from a school information form or a physician. So those appeared to be two important sources of information. And also, at the low vaccination school, which was school B, parents reported learning about H1N1 through a friend, neighbor, or another parent. So they weren't being influenced by the internet, it didn't seem, or by the media as much as maybe in other populations. Access only influenced parental decisions to vaccinate children against H1N1, and intentional motives appear to influence both populations of parents. And parental disengagement, as we seem to assess it through our survey, doesn't appear to influence flu vaccine decision-making. Households who viewed influenza as very serious were more likely to vaccinate their children against the virus. And then finally, if they knew that two different flu vaccines existed, they were more likely to vaccinate their children during the 2009-2010 season. I know that we're holding off questions, but I would like to acknowledge Professor Marmagast, who is the PI, she's in the front row, who is the PI on this project, as well as Commissioner John Dreisner and all those at the Cumberland Plateau Health District, as well as our statistical consultants.